Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I know those are subjects that you're concerned about.
Well, listen,
did you not listen to what I just said?
You're doing a good job, though, on your investigative reporting.
Dangerous.
Time is yours, 913-576-7610. We do it each and every Monday at 8 o'clock. Normally, it's following, game day. But today, we're kind of asking the question, is your bar still Super Bowl? Is this still a Super Bowl season?
Yep, for me it is.
Amidst
Ryan, it is.
Injuries. And, I still think the goal is Super Bowl. I still some things missing that say Super Bowl team. I think the Patriots are still the team to beat in the AFC, but the bar is still the same. Him being out with an injury, the bar is still the same. Do I believe that they're a Super Bowl team? Not at the moment.
I can't think or even imagine to myself a scenario where I would walk into the NFL season having Patrick Mahomes as the quarterback for the team that I'm rooting for and not believe that you can win a Super Bowl.
Exactly. That's kind of where
it's regardless of where you're at, regardless where your defense is at, regardless of your skill position surrounded Patrick Mahomes, I think that playoffs is absolute bare minimum for you, and it's I think we could win a Super Bowl every damn year.
Every year, absolutely. Until he proves that he can't, he can. And
don't misread me. Don't think that I just said that they're going to win a Super Bowl every year with Patrick Mahomes.
Dougie P. No, Dougie P. over here making predictions.
Guaranteeing things, Ryan? Is that what we're doing today? But no, you've got this guy as your quarterback. He takes your team to another level. He's missing 3 weeks, and two of the three games are against opponents that ultimately, in the big picture of getting to where you want to go, really don't matter. So, yes, the goal is still the Super Bowl.
So, time's yours. Do you believe that the Super Bowl is still your bars? 913-576-7610. Joe and KC's up first. Joe.
Time's yours.
No, they're not going to no Super Bowl. I mean, they could. But if you guys will be realistic about this, and please hear me out.
Okay.
They lost to Houston. They lost to Indianapolis. Baltimore gave a hell of a game. I don't see this team beating Baltimore or New England down the road. And they have to do something with that defense. Yeah, they played out of their minds against Denver. But that quarterback, Flacco, looked like a top corner quarterback. Let's see what they do against Green Bay, and I'll call you next Monday. But I don't see it happen until they get something done with the linebacker or defensive back. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it, Joe. Appreciate the phone call. You mentioned Baltimore down the stretch. Until Baltimore beats the Chiefs, they're not beating the Chiefs. Just like with New England, until the Chiefs can go there and win a football game against the New England Patriots in a primetime setting in a game that matters, then they can't beat the New England Patriots. The Baltimore Ravens are to the Kansas City Chiefs like the Chiefs are to the New England Patriots. Until you do it, it's all just talk, and for whatever reason, Baltimore hasn't figured out the Chiefs.
Didn't the Ravens knock the Chiefs out of the playoffs 3-4 years ago?
Oh, that's a long time ago, though. We're not talking with
4 years ago.
Yeah, but Patrick Mahomes isn't here.
You were wanting to bring Eli Manning in here because he beat the Patriots.
Yeah, but Baltimore hasn't done it with Lamar Jackson, and our guy hasn't lost to the Baltimore Ravens. So, no, that doesn't matter.
Okay, I guess I'm not going to split hairs with you on this one.
Tyler in Blue Springs, time's yours.
Hey, fellas, yeah, I think the goal is Super Bowl still, and here's how you do it. You leave Mahomes out until after the bye. He misses 4 games, makes him 6 weeks to recover, comes back at home against Oakland, and then the following week is New England. If you're going to get to the Super Bowl, I think that's how you do it. You give him the time to recover, get better, give him a tune-up game against the Raiders, go to New England.
But I think they're going to want two tune-up games, one against the Chargers, then the bye week, that recovery,
if I'm doing
then
that,
the
you're
Raiders.
Not gonna, and you're not going to catch the Patriots? Why does he need to play against the Patriots?
Then why does he need to play against the Patriots at that point?
Let's just save the postseason. Yeah, it's one less game
save
plan.
Save him for good. Yeah, that's not a bad idea. Yeah, don't let Bill Belichick see him ahead of time, right?
Right.
When it matters.
If you can't catch them for the top seed, right?
Right.
And maybe a two seed's out of play, too. Who cares? It's just about getting in the tournament and beating somebody.
Yeah, but coaches don't operate
that
way.
You just leave them out. You don't have to face the Patriots there.
Yeah.
Roll in Matt Moore, and they go, We'll see you in the postseason.
Right. Yeah, that teams don't operate that way, though. They'll never
Damon
do that.
Heward by then. What are the odds that Matt Moore would stay healthy for, like...
Heward?
I'm sorry, who's the...
Chad Henne.
Sorry, same thing. They're all the same, right?
Damon Heward.
It's the same thing.
Heward's like, waking up like a coach of an elementary school going, Henne, I'm not playing Heward, anymore.
Matt Moore, it's all the same stuff. What are the odds that Matt Moore's healthy by the time they play New England? Come on.
Damon Heward ain't walking through that door.
He might have to.
Damon Heward.
Dustin in Topeka.
Time's yours.
Tell me the difference between Matt Moore.
Well, I don't know. I've never Chad seen Henne and this Damon Heward. I think Matt Moore's better looking than
Dustin.
Damon Heward.
Dustin.
Time's yours.
Yeah, it's Dustin.
Justin or Dustin?
Dustin with a D.
Okay, that's what I said. Go.
Okay. I think we're good, you know, going into these next 3 weeks here. I'd rest Pat for that fourth Chargers game. You know, then we get that fifth game bye. Bring him back from Oakland for a warm-up game, going into that Patriots game. I honestly think if we can get him past that bye week, it doesn't really matter what our record's going to be by then. I think as long as we win the AFC West, we'll be good to go, you know?
Yeah, I think I don't want to say the winning of the AFC West is guaranteed. Nothing is guaranteed, as Dougie Spoons knows from his comments last week in Philadelphia. But, man, with a two-game lead already in this division and really a two-and-a-half-game lead because you already got the Raiders head-to-head, it's going to be difficult for any of these teams, based on the way that we've seen them play, have a shot to win this division. Hell, you got a three-game lead on the Chargers already in this division, and that was everybody's darling.
Yeah, it feels like just win the division games. You should be good.
Yeah, just take care of division games and you'll be fine.
Aaron and Lawrence. Aaron.
Time's yours.
Yeah, I definitely think it's still Super Bowl on our minds the whole way through. The best thing about it is I think Matt Moore needs to play conservative. That puts us at a good 1-2 record with Matt Moore. Whether you play Mahomes against the Chargers or not, a good 2-2 record out of these next four games puts us at a solid 11-5, gets us in the playoffs. Once we get to the playoffs, it's 0-0 record across the board, and whoever wins keeps going. So Mahomes is healthy, we're going to win. Have a good one, guys.
Thanks, Aaron. I like the scenario.
Yeah. I've been saying, these next two games against NFC teams don't matter. It's the Titans game that matters and the divisional games that matter. And ultimately, quite honestly, the Patriots game doesn't matter all that much
now. Ravens playoff loss was January 9th of 2011.
Yeah, how long ago was that? It's a decade ago.
You're the one bringing up Spags beat New England 12 years ago.
Well, Spags is the coach. He's got the blueprint that he can put out there.
Oh, so it matters for Spags.
It does. It matters for a coach. Absolutely. You're dealing with, like, how many of those players from 11 are on? Nobody.
He's got a 12-year-old blueprint. You don't think it's obsolete by now?
No.
They haven't done a couple of upgrades.
Old is new again.
Yeah, Tom Brady hasn't gone anywhere. He's still hanging around.
You don't think Tom Brady has adapted in 12 years of playing in the NFL?
No, he wears the same shoulder pads and helmet.
Yeah, look at him out there. What has he done differently?
Pants on one leg.
All of a sudden, he's starting to run? No, Spags has got the kryptonite on him.
Batman's up next. Batman, time's yours.
Batman, I'm telling you guys, it's the only thing we got going for us this year. It's the 50th anniversary of when we took it the last time. We had a similar situation as we got right now with Lenny and Mike Livingston. We had a lot of tough teams to beat to take it. And the thing of it is it's wide open and we're going to take it. That's what the bat says. It's bat karma all day.
Did he say it's bat karma?
He did. It was bat karma.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah.
I'm good with that. Hey, it's only bad if it doesn't work.
That's right.
So if you want to use the 50-year thing, go for it.
A lot of people are talking about that because we know Lenny the Cool missed those games during the year and then came back for the playoffs.
Pat with a Fresca and a butt.
I'm loving life.
Then I'm buying. Chris and Shawnee.
Time's yours.
Yeah, I think if we at least win one of the one games that we have, these two NFC games, I think if we at least win one, then we can fit Patrick out for the bye, at least until the bye. But if we lose both of them, we need to put Patrick back in the game.
Okay, these two games absolutely mean nothing coming up. We talked about it earlier with the playoff projection. Even if they lose these next two games,
the only game that matters is the Tennessee Titan game because it's an AFC game.
I agree and disagree, and I tell you that because still the Chargers, they're not out. The Raiders, they're not out. I mean, if we lose these next two games, they're only a game behind. So really, these games really do mean something.
Yeah, with the head-to-head still coming, and Andy Reid owns the division, I'm not too concerned about that. Andy Reid owns these cats, man.
I feel like for our peace of mind, these two games matter, right?
I think it matters to see the defense
for
play
your perception,
well.
Perception for the defense to play better, there is some of that. But
don't tell me they turned a corner against Denver.
No.
I think you need to see a little bit more body of work for you to determine.
But according
to
the playoff predictor from the New York Times, even if they lose these next two games, they still have 100% chance of making the playoffs.
There you go. Your chance to win a Smokehouse Barbecue if you remember the Risk It for the Brisket pick. 913-576-7610 to play. Next.
Fesco in the morning.
Brisket.
You gotta risk it to get the brisket.
Hamburgers.
You gotta risk it to get the brisket.
Barbecued beef ribs.
You gotta risk it to get the brisket.
Well, I hope you folks enjoyed yourselves. Get you later on down the trail.
Your chance to win Smokehouse Barbecue, including a $50 gift card and assorted sauces and spices. Fridays at 8:15, one of us makes a weekend prediction. Monday at 8:15, you tell us who made the weekend prediction. Did they get it right or wrong?
Better luck to you than us.
Neither
Josh
of us
and I
remembered who made the prediction.
No idea.
No clue. We both remembered the prediction.
Well, it is
no
written
clue.
Down on our sheet.
No clue.
Well, I was strutting around. I got the prediction
no
right.
No clue who said it. Steve and KC, tell us who made the weekend prediction. Did they get it right or wrong?
Josh made the prediction, and he got it right.
I did? Yeah. The Raiders will lose, and the Chiefs comfortably in first place.
Final kneel down, and the Packers have emerged with a 42-24 victory over these Oakland Raiders.
Yes, indeedy.
Steve is correct. Steve wins. $50 card. Assorted sauces and spices to Smokehouse Barbecue.
Yeah, I told you it was you.
I was pretty sure it was Bob that made the prediction.
I sat here and I said, I nailed it. And Josh goes, yes, you did. Nice job. And Ryan's like,
no, you didn't.
What? Josh made the prediction. We're like, no, I don't think so.
I don't think so.
Ryan's like, no, I'm pretty sure this is Josh. I don't know about that.
We were still doubting it right up until the point we just played the sound. So Steve knew. Most importantly, Steve knew. Steve remembered. And Steve wins $50 to Smokehouse Barbecue. We'll do it again on Friday at 8:15. One of us will make a prediction. We don't even have to remember it.
No,
you do.
Because clearly
Monday
we can't.
At 8:15 for your chance to win.
Do you suffer Smokehouse from the older you get from that CRS disease?
What is that?
Can't remember.
Oh, bleep?
Yeah.
Bleep doesn't start with an S at all.
No, it doesn't, but you can't say the word on the radio.
Oh.
Yeah. Stuff. Can't remember stuff.
Let's see here. 970, a couple of housekeeping items. 970, who's still in the survivor pool? There was no L's taken.
No L's. Everybody either had the 49ers or the Bills.
I'm still undefeated through 7 weeks. Thank you very much. Me and BK still are yet to take a strike. Let's see. You, Kling, Binkley.
Everybody else has one strike.
Carrington's eliminated.
Carrington,
so
Serta, and I think
Pete Sweeney from Arrowhead Pride
are all eliminated from the survivor pool.
So that I'm still the best at Survivor.
Right. It's interesting how you're
the best Survivor.
The whole thing was Carrington was going to win this thing, and everybody picked Carrington. He would gone before Sunday of week two.
That's the guy that's making fart jokes. That's the one you should have went with.
Should have gone with.
Okay.
Should have gone with.
Gone with. Whatever.
Did Carrington make it to the second Sunday of the NFL season?
He did not.
He's
trash.
I don't mind repeating that.
816
really
also wants to know if we're going to do Sproles in the backfield today. You didn't do it last week. It felt kind of empty. You guys didn't do it last week?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, 9:15 Mondays.
Yep.
We moved it around. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we definitely did it last week.
Back and he was drunk. Yep.
Oh, well, it was a Sunday night game, too. Mm. I was thinking about this. This is okay. This is the thought process of my morning. Alarm goes off. I wake up. I didn't watch the game last night because I went to bed early. Wasn't feeling all that great, right? Hit the sack early. Couldn't get my brain to shut off. Before long, it's midnight. Finally got 3 hours of sleep. Feel great. I wake up this morning. I get on and I hit that E button on my phone that gives you all the sports news, right? And so I'm looking at the score of last night's game. I said, wow, they got waxed pretty big. And the first thing I think of is, what did Merrill do all day in Dallas? Like, what would I have done if I was Merrill all day in Dallas? Because Dallas has nothing to visit. Like, there, besides Kennedy's thing, there are no things to do in Dallas. Like, from a historical, cultural, gotta-see standpoint, okay? So you wake up, what do you do if you're Merrill in Dallas all day? I thought, I even got to the point of where I'm rationing in my brain at 4 o'clock this morning. Well, I probably would have flown down that day, hopped the flight from Philly to Dallas, got in, then gone to the game, then hopped the team charter home, didn't have to spend the night in the, like, I'm rationalizing all this.
I think if you're Merrill, you just, you
sit at the hotel bar.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's any.
And watch games all day, right?
I don't think you watch games.
You just sit at the hotel bar.
Is freshened up in your glass.
Keep really the ice fresh. Please keep my ice fresh and tasty.
Well, I really think that's it. I don't think
so. I spent like 10 minutes this morning waking up thinking what Merrill did all day in Dallas.
I like that. That's productive. It's good stuff.
And then I went, what the hell am I doing? I need to take a shower and get on with my day.
Would you watch a show called Merrill Does Dallas?
No, I did not. It was just that was where my brain was this morning.
What people do in Dallas.
No, what, Merrill, not people. Merrill. Just Merrill.
Yeah.
Like, if I was Merrill, what I would have done? And I said, I would have flown down yesterday.
You think he did the same thing that Debbie did?
Yeah, probably. Probably.
No, he's drunk at the hotel bar.
I'll take another barkeep.
And then there's a person in charge of getting him to the bus.
That's right. Yeah.
He's got a person.
He's got a guy.
He's definitely got a guy.
All right, who's got Merrill?
Wheel him over like he's Hannibal Lecter.
We've all been on those road trips where somebody's got to, you know, like, there's always that one guy you got to be responsible for, right?
We got a guy, meanwhile, and that would be Andy Reid. As much as we, you know, we poke the bear every once in a while with Andy, right?
Yeah, sure.
He can...
Every bear deserves a poking.
Keep an even keel among the best of them. It's no big deal. Quarterback's out, no big deal. We're just going to roll. Just going to roll.
Right.
Next man up. Let's go. He doesn't really say next man up. I always find that kind of cold. But he's it just really like, is, we're going to be fine.
Yeah.
Whoever's there, we're going to play quarterback. We're going to play football. It's going to be fine. So Matt Moore is at the helm.
Mm-hmm.
Nate Burleson from NFL Network says the Chiefs also just need to stay the course and not panic.
They have to keep going. Unfortunately, I've been in this situation before, not just me being injured, but having my starting quarterback going down. And there's two ways you can handle it. You can take your playbook and literally crumble it up and toss it over your shoulder. Mm-hmm. Or you can say, you know what? We have the skill set, the wide receivers, tight ends, and running backs that can help whoever is the backup quarterback. In my opinion, I say keep the game plan. The teams that I've been on where the coaches panic, the team panics, and they change everything because the talented quarterback goes down, that's when your season goes in the opposite direction. The best chance for the Chiefs to be successful is keep everything the same. And I know that's hard because you're saying, Nate, it's Pat Mahomes. Mm-hmm. He's a prolific passer. That's our MVP. I understand that. But when you shake up everything, you toss that playbook out, not only do you disrupt the flow of the offense, but the skill players that are the goal of this team, they're all of a sudden saying, okay, well, where do I fit in? On the ball as much as we used to? Mm. We're going to just abandon everything that we've built up to this point. So keep everything the same.
Keep everything the same.
And this is why Andy Reid is the perfect coach for this kind of injury and this type of situation that the Chiefs are in. He's calm. He won't panic. And even though we're looking at 3 weeks without Mahomes, we still need to make sure that nobody is going to panic. And Andy Reid is the perfect guy for that situation. We talk about it all the time when we look back at 14 and 15 with the Royals and how they went through their ups and downs. Ned never panicked. They never panicked in game four. When you have a dugout or a sideline or a coach or a leader that doesn't panic and stays the same, everything is going to be okay. Switching what you do, throwing your game plan out, changing everything because Patrick Mahomes went down would be the worst thing you could do. A younger coach that's bald with a goatee would make those mistakes and he would never recover for it, i.e. Atlanta. What's going on down there right now? That Super Bowl hangover that they're still suffering from, that 28-3 lead that they blew, they haven't recovered from that. Andy Reid is going to keep this team calm, focused, and just moving on to the next game, and that's why he's the perfect coach for this situation.
Our big story coming up, and Nag's big mistake, we'll discuss next.
Every bear deserves a poking.
Fesco in the morning.
Bunch of stuff to get to between now and 9 o'clock. Brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967. We'll hear from the defensive side of things, how they're going to handle no Pat. One of our former colleagues all growed up.
He growed up big time, hasn't he?
Really good.
It's really good.
He's really good. The silliness that is the NFL continues, and one big mistake for a current NFL coach we'll discuss over the next 30 minutes. Time now for the big story.
Everyone, I'm sorry for the delay, but the big moment has finally come.
It's the big story.
This may be the biggest thing that's ever happened.
If it's what you're talking about, it's what we're talking about.
My God, are you still talking?
Brought to you by Spring Venture Group on Fesco in the Morning.
The sun is up. There's not a cloud in the sky.
Beautiful day. Beautiful day.
I mean, that's what happens when you get the best case scenario.
This was, from what I understand, the best case scenario, absolute best case for the Kansas City Chiefs. As you mentioned, Patrick Mahomes does in fact have a dislocated kneecap, but minimal other damage. In other words, the ligaments around his knee were stretched and not torn, in part from what I'm told, because Mahomes didn't move. Everyone was telling him, don't move. He sat there, let the team personnel staff pop the knee back in. That really saved him. And what I was also told, Rich, surgery was not discussed at all, not even for after the season. We'll see, obviously, going forward if that is the case.
So there you go. They told him not to move. He didn't move. He didn't do anything worse to the knee. They took him off the field, walked off. They're not even talking about surgery. Best case scenario, 3 weeks. It's fantastic.
Yep.
I was waiting for them to say something like, and the reason why was Mahomes crunch or something, you know, like tied into what the reason why he's not going to be out for a long time is he uses Head and Shoulders.
Text line suggesting we call the next month No Pat November.
No Pat November. I like that. Yeah.
Yes. Hopefully he'll be Mahomes for the holidays.
He's could be back in November.
Mahomes for the holidays.
Very much could be back in November. Three games.
I'll be Mahomes
Packers
for Christmas.
Vikings at Titans the next three games.
Are people dressing up like Pat Mahomes for Halloween? That's an important thing
so.
I need to know.
I think so.
I'd imagine there'd be a few.
Do you have to alter that costume now?
I'd imagine there'd be a few.
Let's have crutches with you.
Your kneecap displaced or something?
We've got Trunk or Treat coming up on Friday, so I'm sure there'll be a few Mahomeses
That's a scam.
Why is that a scam?
Is it Mahomai or Mahomeses?
Mahomai's.
Because you don't get the process of having to, like, walk up a driveway and knock on a door.
Oh, no. This is an addition to. Yeah. This is your first round of candy at the school. And then on Halloween night, then you go and
haunted hallways is what we call that.
No, it's totally different. It's Trunk or Treat, where every parent parks their car in the parking lot of the school, gets hammered, and passes out Charleston Chews.
They have like the smallest Charleston Chews or like full size ones?
Yeah, the full size.
You want to be a hero?
Yeah.
Full size.
Get the full size. The full size Toblerones.
I got to move to the Joko side of life.
No, so you do the Trunk or Treat on Friday where it takes 10 minutes, literally 10 minutes. They run through the parking lot, get all the candy. And that's the precursor. That's the warm-up to Halloween, which is Thursday, a week from Thursday.
You got to practice. So Matt Moore at the helm. He'll get the full week of reps this week. Chiefs at this point do not plan to bring in another quarterback. Chad Henne eligible to come off injured reserve after this Sunday's game. And you could elevate as well Kyle Schroeder from the practice squad as your number two.
Do you move Henne into the starting role next week if he comes back from the practice squad?
I don't think you can.
So if you lose, you can't blame it on the Henny?
No. The Henny not being ready?
He asked the question.
I know. He just wanted
to get to that.
He just wanted to get to that. So the plan is to stand Pat, pun intended, at quarterback.
Right.
Matt Moore, Kyle Schirmer this week, and you add in Chad Henne. Next week.
Yeah, they're not going to go out and make a big splash for a quarterback. There's no reason to go out there and do that. You've got two capable veteran backups that are on your team, and you're only going to miss Mahomes for 3 weeks. So it's only three games that you're going to be without Mahomes. Two of the three games, the Vikings and the Packer game, don't really matter when it comes to seeding and standings and all of that stuff. There's still 100% chance of them to make the playoffs, even if they go 1-2 over these next three games, according to the New York Times playoff projecting system that we talked about earlier in the show. So you've got yourself a couple of games where the defense can look to get better and play good against good competition.
But ultimately, if you don't win big picture, it really doesn't matter, and everything is still attainable, from getting a first-round bye to winning the division to hosting playoff games here at Arrowhead Stadium. Everything is still within arm's length for the Kansas City Chiefs, even with Mahomes out for the next 3 weeks.
Big story brought to you by Spring Venture Group, a company who is reimagining the relationship between sales, data, and technology. Find out more at springventuregroup.com. Meanwhile, how will the defense handle things? We were impressed. We were all impressed Thursday night, right?
Loved it Thursday night. That was
so
great.
So now how do you take that next step? And now you don't have 15 around, at least for the short term. Alex Okafor on that.
So at this point, our mentality is just hold down the fort until he gets back. I mean, we're very capable of doing that, whether it's Matt Moore, whether it's Chad Henne coming back or whatever. Coach Reed is a brilliant play caller, and he'll do whatever he needs to do to get that offense firing. But for us as a defense, man, if we played like we did last night, it won't matter what the offense does. That's kind of our mentality defensively.
That was Okafor on NFL Radio. Just got to hold down. just got to keep this thing afloat. And the defense playing like that would go a long, long way to keeping it afloat.
Well, that's all you need to do, really, is go out there and play as well as you did against the Denver Broncos. And I think if you go out there and play that well against the Green Bay Packers and against the Minnesota Vikings, then we've got ourselves a defense that can really be a legit Super Bowl contending defense. And if they go out over these next two games and perform like they did against the Denver Broncos, that's where you start to get the real buy-in and start to believe this is a Super Bowl winning defense. Because the Denver Broncos, still people are using that as the, yeah, but it was Joe Flacco. Yeah, but it was the Denver Broncos. And yeah, Joe Flacco quit midway through that game. So how much can you judge the defense? But for the defense, for those guys, they got to look at it and say, we had 9 sacks. We made a quarterback quit in the middle of a game. We were able to get a strip sack touchdown. I talked to a former NFL player over the weekend about this, and we talked to Joe Mays about it as well on the air. You ever have a quarterback quit on you like that in the middle of a game? And everybody's like, no, I've never seen a quarterback just absolutely, you know, kind of like one of those, you know, those bugs that crawl up in a ball and just kind of roll away. That was kind of like what Joe Flacco was, like a Weeble Wobble or whatever. He was gone. He was checked out. They annihilated him. And so
like
I think
roly-poly?
That's the word I'm looking for, the roly-poly. That's what Joe Flacco was on Thursday night. He was like a roly-poly, and he was gone. You step on him, and he crunched. And so if you can do that now, if you're the defense and you carry that momentum over, that's all that matters. It doesn't matter what we think or what anybody says. It was only the Denver Broncos. If they feel like they've got it and they've arrived and they're able to carry that over and play well against the Vikings and play well against the Packers and shut those offenses down and hold them to around 25, 28 points, now we're talking about a defense, once Patrick Mahomes comes back, that you can really rely on to help you win a Super Bowl.
Hey, Pete, it was Fesco that stepped on the roly-polies, not me. I leave them be.
Okay.
I always let them kind of crawl around. Mm-hmm. Never cared to step on them and hear them crunch. But, yeah, go ahead and prove that it wasn't a – I don't even think it was a fluke, but go ahead and prove that you've made some strides defensively. Look like you did for 1 week.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I'd like to see it, obviously, for more. I'm not expecting you to play at that dominant level that you played the other night, but show that you made some adjustments, show that you got some fire back, show that you can turn people over a little bit, and it's going to be good. Now you get a test. Now you get a stern test. Mm-hmm. If you didn't feel enough pressure to bring it every week, well, now you should have a little more pressure to bring it every week.
It's there every week. Let's go. It game's on now. Now you've got the opportunity to build on what you showed against Denver and to prove to everybody who's still going, it's the Denver Broncos, that you can do it against good teams that are probably going to be in the postseason with Green Bay and Minnesota.
So the World Series starts tomorrow night in Houston. The Astros playing host to the Nationals.
Mm-hmm. American League won the All-Star game this year.
That's correct. They're the biggest favorite in...
Since 2007, since the Red Sox were the favorite over the Colorado Rockies.
Kind of crazy. It's like, the Nationals won 93 games. I mean, it's not like they're any...
Right, and they got a pretty good pitching staff.
Complete slouch, but it's a big favorite for the Astros. But our former colleague here at 610 Sports Radio, Robert Ford, is the play-by-play voice of the Houston Astros.
And he's been kind of getting viral videos. They've got like this video camera that's in the back of the booth that shows him on these big time calls, and he's up out of his seat, jumping up and down and you know, really getting into the call. And he had a pretty big one on Saturday night.
He's good.
Here's a 2-1. And that's driven deep to left center field. Garner is going back. Looking up. Altuve, a walk-off two-run homer, and the Astros to four, win the ALCS, 4-2.
Fantastic call. That was the game winner, Altuve, the walk-off home run to send him to the World Series. How about that call?
It was really good.
Robert's really gotten good.
Yeah, Robert is an amazing announcer and does great things down there in Houston. And you know, it's funny because he worked with us here, and you're like, oh, come on, man. Is he going to be a play-by-play? Oh, yeah, he is. He's not just a play-by-play announcer. He's one of the best right now in Major League Baseball, and I listen to him as much as I possibly can. He gets better by the game, and to have those big moments, man, early in your career like he's having down there, he kind of came in when the ball club wasn't any good, and he had the opportunity to grow with that ball club down in Houston, and now he's on the call for all of these big moments, man, like big-time baseball moments. And he doesn't let the moment get too big. He's as big as the moment is and does an amazing job of telling those stories. And we're talking about all these big moments, and it's Jose Altuve that hits the home run, who is probably the smallest guy in Major League Baseball, but I think pound for pound the best player in Major League Baseball. The way that he just goes out there and dominates and goes out there and is just a gamer and a winner. He's a winner like Derek Jeter was a winner. He comes up with big moments like Jeter came up with big moments. Like, you've got to look at Jose Altuve right now, and you can say what you want about Mike Trout. Mike Trout hasn't done it on a big stage yet. Jose Altuve plays big and plays even bigger on those big-time stages and comes up with moments that you just can't script and moments that just happen. And that's why, for me, Jose Altuve is the best player right now in Major League Baseball. He's unbelievable.
Off Aroldis Chapman, who is throwing about 184 miles an hour.
Correct. And then you saw the fallout from that, right? Why was Aroldis Chapman laughing as he walked off the mound? Did you see that?
Uh-huh.
It was one of those reactions like, I can't. What are you going to do? Yeah. I can't believe he just did that to me. It's like one of those. Guy wasn't laughing as he went off the mound. But, man, what a great game on Saturday night. The Yankees tie it in the top of the ninth inning. And then, as fitting and as poetic as it could possibly be, the best player in baseball hits the game winner in the bottom of the ninth inning like that. That's a great baseball moment. And I think we could have ourselves a pretty good World Series, because you got pitching staffs on both sides that don't back down, that don't quit, that you can see 1-0, 2-1 type of games, and now they're not using the juice ball in the postseason anymore, so maybe the run production is going to be down. But when you got pitchers like that on both sides, I think this has got the makings for a pretty good, very exciting World Series from a pitching standpoint.
Game one on Tuesday night, Garrett Cole, Max Scherzer. Yeah, that's a pretty good start.
Yeah, and all the talk is about Garrett Cole is going to be, where's he going to go next year? Is he going to be a Yankee and all that kind of stuff? So there's a lot of intrigue to the postseason,
so fun.
To the World Series.
So nice job, 6'10" alum, done good.
Yeah,
Robert sounded awesome down in Houston. All right, to the silly NFL,
mm-hmm.
and to the silly NFL and its referees. They had to tell teams again, Bob, don't you be saying anything about those refs,
right? Why are refs and umpires so protected in sports?
The NFL sent out a second memo this season saying criticism of officiating can't be happening. You cannot make comments regarding the quality of officiating, individual calls or missed calls, the league's officiating department, an officiating crew, an individual game official, accusing game officials of acting with bias or in any way questioning the integrity of NFL game officials, or posting negative or derogatory / demeaning content pertaining to officiating on social media. So for the second time this season, they have sent this out to teams. Or you could just turn around and go, what's going on with our officials? I don't understand why that isn't the reaction, rather than, remember, don't say bad stuff about the officials.
Mm-hmm.
How about, hey, what's going on with our teams and our officiating right now, that there seems to be a problem?
Yeah, there seems to be a big problem. Both players and coaches alike on every team in the NFL have had issues with the officiating. I don't understand why the officials in all sports are these sacred cows, where you can't go out there as a player and as a coach and criticize the officials if you feel that they had a bad day. I mean, I think if I was the Lions coach from last Monday night, I'd be out there blasting the officials, because they were awful. They were terrible. They were downright bad in that game. I don't know why we protect these officials more than we protect just about anything else. It's okay for a player or a coach to go out there and criticize another player or coach on another team, but God forbid you start criticizing the officials. Well, I think we've reached a point in time in the NFL where it is okay to go out there and criticize these officials. And if I were these teams, I would tell my players, feel free to criticize the officials. We're going to pick up the check if you get fined for criticizing the officials, because they need to hear it. They have been very bad this year in the NFL. In fact, we're getting an average of 15 penalties a game right now in the NFL. That's up four more per game than it was a decade ago. So games are being slowed down. Games are dragging on because these referees are throwing more flags. It has to stop. And I think right now, instead of blasting the players and the coaches and sending letters to all of these teams about criticizing the officials, what the NFL needs to do is address the issue, and that's addressing the issue of the way games are being officiating. You're reprimanding players and coaches and GMs for being critical of the officials. How about turning around and reprimanding the officials for being ass? That makes sense. Address the problem. Don't address the fallout from the problem. That's the criticizing. Address the problem so the call-outs don't happen. If you address the problem and take care of the issue, then the players and coaches and general managers aren't firing off about the officials. But it seems like instead of addressing the issue, we're apologizing to those that were offended type of stuff.
Yes, with the officials, and they're
right.
They're soft.
So the officials are offended, so we better apologize and fine the players because the officials are upset. Do a better job. Do what you're paid to do. Officiate better. Get these, you know, these pass interference penalties that are being reviewed and that are clear pass interference penalties that you're not overturning, start overturning some of these. People don't believe in the officials right now in the NFL. People don't believe that they're on the up and up. People don't believe that they are doing what's in the best interest of the game. They're doing what's in the best interest of themselves. And that is hurting football right now, and it has to be stopped. So the NFL, you're addressing the wrong issue here. The issue is how bad the officials are, not the guys complaining about the officials.
And if you side with the officials, does it make it look like you're also
in bed with the officials?
That you're good with what they're doing?
Sure.
Do you want that to be the perception? You're good with them not overturning clear calls?
It's gotten to the point where Bill Belichick he's not even going to challenge these anymore because it's not worth the time.
I would think the league would want to step in and say, and I said this a couple weeks ago, sit down with your officials and say, what's up? We hurt your feelings here? What are we told you? We've all told you you're not doing your job right. Well.
Yeah, do you have enough time to cry about it? We're 7 weeks into this thing. Let's go.
So you're paying us back by doing this? Let's resolve this right thing. This is ridiculous. Instead, they're telling teams not to comment on it.
Right.
And not saying, don't comment on it. We got this. We're going to handle this. They're not doing anything in that regard, amazes me.
Like, nothing.
Come out and say, we don't know either what's going on with the officials. This is not what we tasked them to do.
And they can tell you, well, we're handling things behind the scenes, but I think right now,
I don't think they are.
I don't think they are, number one. But number two, we need as a public and as a fan base and as fans of this league to see that the front office of the NFL is doing something
to
rectify this
for
problem.
Sure. Yes.
I don't care. You can say all you want about behind the scenes. We're handling things behind closed doors. No, this needs to be an open policy right now to let your teams, your players, and your fans know that you're not out here fixing games.
The bloom is off for one young NFL head coach. And he's got ties to Kansas City and Matt Nagy. The Bears got smacked yesterday, right, by Teddy and the Saints.
Yeah.
Pretty bad deal. 670 The Score in Chicago, sister station. One of their lead hosts writes a story. Bears are stumbling into crisis, and Matt Nagy is in over his head at the moment. Wow, that happened quick.
Fast.
We're in midway through year two.
Yeah, it's like Carrington getting eliminated before the second Sunday of the NFL season.
For Matt Nagy. Right. Wow. Who inherited a situation not with his quarterback, right?
Not his guy. Not his guy.
In fact, he was here with... It drafted somebody else
right
in Kansas City, lower in the draft than Mitchell Trubisky. Trying to make it work there, but he's in year number two. Although I think he put himself in this position. You know what you don't want to do as a young head coach? Have the bar raised too far in year number one. His biggest mistake was winning in year number one.
Not just winning in year one, but also making Mitchell Trubisky look like a competent quarterback
right?
in year one.
So then the bar is raised by everybody. Well, this is how it's going to be. Wow.
Bears are going to be a contender. Look how good the defense is. Yeah.
Wow. Wow, they were much better than I thought in year one. What happens?
Now, Nagy didn't have himself a good game yesterday.
Expectations go up in year number two. And now they're 3-3, right?
They ran the ball 7 times yesterday.
And that was the other thing.
You put Mitchell Trubisky. God.
In a game.
Why would you want to rely on Mitchell Trubisky to do anything for you? Like, the name doesn't even give you confidence.
They ran it seven times in the second half. They ran it 7 total times.
Right.
Sound familiar at all?
Yes. We've heard this before.
An overachieving regular season last year, right?
Right.
A bad playoff exit?
Yep.
You ran 7 times in a loss. Okay. I see where this is going. Oh, but Matt Nagy, the ultimate, you gotta go out in your first year and stink. Do the Scott Frost approach up in Nebraska. Now, year two's not any great shakes yet either. But
they're going to make a bowl this year.
But he stunk in year one.
Yeah.
That's the play.
Yeah, go in and really stink up the joint.
I inherited this. I was like, what do you want me to do? Nowhere to go but up.
Right. And that's actually a good message for everybody. Don't go in and dominate the first day on the job, right?
Nagy had what? What was their record?
10-6, right? Wasn't it? Maybe it was even better. Maybe they were 12-4, 11-5.
So really set the bar low. As
yes.
Well.
Yes. He should have went 4-12. Huh. Doing this to himself.
He won games and got into the playoffs with Mitch Trubisky as his quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
When you do that in year one, you have set the bar. Went, oh, my God, this guy's the second coming. He got into the playoffs with Mitch Trubisky?
12-4.
12-4 last year.
12-4 last year.
He had the double doink in the wild card game.
Right. But you know what? Even after that double doink, you're like, all right, we're at a good spot now. We're off and running. This is great. This is a great way to start this new era. And then you come out and you run it 7 times yesterday with Mitchell Trubisky as your quarterback.
I'm just saying, 12-4 to say.
That's bad with Mahomes as your quarterback.
Say they finish out 8-8. There's some heat next year already.
Oh, God, yeah.
In year three.
Yeah.
Should have stunk last year, Matt.
Yeah, that's the best advice. Same for Matheny. That first year here when you're running the Royals, stink it up.
I think he's
you could be okay.
Might be all right. Matt.
Then after that, it's just, yeah, there you go.
If you get hired as the manager, is that going to be your approach?
That's my motto. Yeah, I'll stink it up.
Is that what
you
told
him
when you're in your interview? Yeah. You're like, I'm going to stink my first year just to set the bar low.
Well, you have to. Yeah, you really do. You don't want to.
So there's no pressure.
You don't want to create false expectations.
Correct.
You don't want to suck for luck or anything like that.
You just want to suck.
Just in general.
Wow, you know, no way you can go but up. Because now you start winning, and they're like, wow, look at the way he turned it around.
Because now for Nagy, it may not be his quarterback, but he ain't going to be there to get the next quarterback.
Right, if you continue on this pace.
I mean, in fairness, the Bears had won 5 games a year prior with John Fox as their head coach.
That's right, and Nagy came in with Trubisky, the same quarterback, and won 12.
Doesn't matter.
So it has to be your own turnaround. It can't be somebody else's. Because he essentially turned around John Fox's.
Yeah.
If you keep it going, it's fine, but if not, then they're going to question
you. 1 year is what you're telling me. He needed to suck for 1 year.
Yes,
because
if you would have gone 4-12 and then 8-8, now you're on a rise. Now you're seeing progress.
I know, but what happens next year?
Then you go 12-4. You go 4-12, 8-8, 12-4.
I'm just saying, if the 12-4 happened this year, and then next year they went 3-3, or they were 3-3 to start the year, you're still having the same conversations. Like, I don't feel like, you know, winning immediately is
you think
setting
he's,
the bar.
You think
up for
he's
failure,
losing
right?
Like, on
it
purpose?
Absolutely
it's,
is.
It's what have
he goes
you done
four
for
and
me
12,
lately?
No, he goes 4-12, 8-8, 12-4. He's got a 4-year extension.
Yeah, absolutely.
He goes
look at the
12-4, 8-8, and
7-9.
He's gone.
He's gone.
I guess that's fair.
You know, I mean, that's exactly what it is. And they're looking for a new quarterback.
Right, unless he's doing this on purpose to show everybody how bad Trubisky is so he can draft the quarterback in the first round.
Somebody suggesting he misses Chili. It's just not the same without Chili and Nags.
Maybe,
I agree.
Maybe Fangio. I don't know.
Fangio and defense. Yeah, but that defense is out there so much. That's why you got to run the ball a little bit more to give your defense
an
opportunity.
Yeah, they ran it 7 times in the game yesterday. It just felt very, very familiar. Very familiar game plan.
Andy, what should I do? Don't run.
Points allowed. 30th in yards allowed on the for offense, 30th in yards, 26th in points. But defensively, they're 5th in points allowed and 10th in yards allowed.
Yeah, so I think
still the Bears.
Yeah, maybe you're setting Trubisky up for a failure though. Would you put it past a coach to do that?
Oh no, no, we've seen it in your Kansas City.
Yeah,
I mean,
We did, big time. That's why that coach is no longer there.
A coach
there,
wrecking a quarterback? No.
Like showing up for the first day of work drunk, so then they just think you're always drunk. That's just how he is. He just looks
that way.
Don't
overdress that.
He's always glassy.
Don't overdress that first day. You know, the whole thing.
Yeah. Don't set the bar too high. Because I think ultimately he don't want Trubisky,
right?
It's
a good message for the kids, too. Don't set the bar too
high. True. I mean, where else are you going to go but down? But he doesn't want Trubisky. So you got but the team is invested in Trubisky. You're playing right now in hopes that they don't pick up that fifth-year option on Trubisky.
You want him playing just good enough that you can still move on.
Yeah.
You need that next guy to take that next step.
Yeah.
Because it keeps your job and it gets you there to get that next quarterback.
Right.
Right? He needs to be Alex Smith.
I don't think he's got the ability to be that good.
No, but that type, right?
Yeah, maybe.
You don't think Mitch Trubisky could be Alex Smith?
Keeps you afloat.
Oh, God, no.
Keeps you there, but you don't.
They've made a horrible mistake.
You don't ultimately believe he can win the big one. Do you want him to be Matt Stafford?
I don't think Mitch Trubisky can just win the one.
Do you want him to be Matt Stafford, Bob, who just passed 40,000 yards?
For the fastest to ever
fastest
do it,
to ever
right?
get to 40,000 yards. How about that? What stat?
What big deal?
How about that statistic?
What does Matt Stafford have to show for that?
Same thing that Dan Marino has to show for.
Sub 500 record and no championships. Like, I don't want that to be the case for Mahomes, where we're talking about he's the fastest to do this and the fastest to do that, and we're in like year five or six with Mahomes talking about how he's the fastest to do all these things. We're going, but where's the Super Bowl? Like, none of that matters. Stats are irrelevant when it comes to that quarterback position and setting all of these records like Matthew Stafford did. The only thing I want to see is him lead this team to wins and championships. And if we get wins and championships, then you can pad the resume and do all that kind of stuff. But Matthew Stafford, like, to me, when I saw that stat yesterday, I didn't even realize like how good Matthew Stafford is as an individual player, because his teams have never had success.
You never felt like they've been a contender?
No. Ever.
Yeah, I mean, ever since he didn't have Megatron in the mix, it was pretty bad.
I mean, like, even with Megatron in the mix,
I do
think,
though, that he gets unfair. And look, I get it. Like, it's the National Football League. Quarterbacks are going to get the bulk of the praise, and they also get the bulk of,
no doubt,
you know, the ill will when things aren't going well for you. So, but I've always thought he just never has had talent built around it. They've never brought in a lot of things to help Matthew Stafford out.
But yet he's still the fastest of 40,000 yards.
I mean, I think a lot of it's product of the system, but the fact that he plays from behind a lot, and there's a lot of,
yeah, that's true,
you know, and in fantasy football terms, there's a lot of garbage time that goes, yep, on in those 40,000 yards that you were the fastest to get to.
Oh,
but
yeah.
But at the same time, like, while we say this, then we watch the Chiefs play the Lions, and we're like, wow, Matthew Stafford's a hell of a lot better than I remember him being. Like,
but he still didn't win the game.
I think he's a really good quarterback. I just think that, unfortunately, you're saddled with a team that hasn't put much around you to win.
Right, which is why the 40,000 yards to me kind of fell on deaf ears. I'm like, the guy never wins anything.
I guess you could make an argument, though, that it is somewhat impressive considering that he hasn't had a lot of great – now. He's had some good wide receivers. He's had Golden Tate. He had, mm-hmm, Nate Burleson. He had Calvin Johnson. But like this year, he's throwing
Herman
to
Moore.
Yeah, he's throwing to
Johnny Morton.
He did not have those.
I don't think any of those guys he had. No. But like, he's throwing to you know, this year, Marvin Jones Jr. and Kenny Golladay, who are good players. But yeah. I mean, they're not that Calvin Johnson, that Antonio Brown, that guy who you think is making the huge difference for you. So I give him a little bit of credit.
Who was the third wide receiver? Herman Moore, Johnny Morton, Perriman. Brett Perriman, does he have him?
Yeah.
I don't think he had him.
Stats are for losers.
Shut up, Bill.
This half hour brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967. Everything is still in front of the Chiefs. Next.
Fesco in the morning.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s?
It's better over here.
Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.